Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Well, are you ready for some football?
Man, I don't know if I'm playing the big rigs. I ain't ready for no football.
Man, we had a great 2-week stretch here so far, man. I tell you.
Man, put up 80 points, 81 points.
Yeah, 82, 41 each game against the both defending state champions. It wasn't like they went over there and picked on a little small school, or Sisters of the Poor. They played perennial powerhouses in the city of Detroit. All right?
Yes, sir.
And even the King game, actually the final score was not indicative of the lopsidedness of the game. I mean, they didn't get 100 yards passing or rushing. And that's what they do. They put up points. From last year to this year, it's a different football team. One of the comments that were made about the championship game was about they had Flynn and we had Martinez. I said, well, we still got Martinez and they don't have Flynn. So
that's not our fault.
The field is tilted. And he played an awesome football game. He played like he really had a chip on his shoulder. There's a couple plays where 3 or 4 guys had like wrapped him up. He just carried him.
I saw a play on one of the highlights where it looked like he was running, and he looked like a video game player. It's like he had a joystick on the people that was guarding him. Like he'll run, slow down, go left, go right, run a little hard, jog.
Yeah, like, change gears, switch gears on.
Look at this kid. I'm like, he's scanning the field like this.
Great vision.
Head on the look like RoboCop or something.
Yeah, that kick return.
Nobody
even touched him.
That hit. Somebody laid a hit on somebody on that kick return. They had showed it on social media.
Okay, I missed
it. Made somebody call their mama.
If they can remember.
Because when he ran, then he kind of reversed the field. He came back, followed his block.
Right.
And I think it was one of the DBs or a safety or somebody was laid a hit. That made Cam get the whole pathway to finish it out. So I seen
him. Yeah, they didn't touch him.
Yeah, they didn't touch him. Those guys was protecting him, his teammates.
And when he got to the end zone, there was 4 big reds with him. You know, it wasn't like he just broke and just scooted down the field and left them. This guy had a convoy, man. And it was a physical game. And by the end of the third quarter, they didn't want anymore. They had basically given up, man. We just physically manhandled these guys for 3 quarters. And they didn't want any more. It was simple as that. They was carrying him off the field. Big boy, the big running back, he was sitting on the sideline in a sling. Big Penny Boone.
Did he play?
Oh, he played. He played for 3 quarters.
Wow.
4th quarter, he didn't want no more, man.
Like pull him out and put him in a sling. Hide the Division I prospect.
Man,
there
was a number of them like that.
It was a number like that?
Man, I'm telling you, man, they was carrying him off the field, man. Yeah. You know, and it bore down to the physicalness of the game, and our kids were in better shape.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I can say that above all, Muskegon kids, they are made for this game.
Endurance, man.
They made for this time.
Yeah. So, hats off, man. I mean, you know, we expected to win, but no one expected to win by the margin and control the game like we did.
I thought about 12 points.
2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Figure, you know, we could go over there and come away.
But not no
with
20,
a win.
Man. We're running up people off 20.
Yeah,
not a defending chap either, Tony.
Right.
20 points. Come on.
Yeah, we won one point away from a running clock in the first game.
You almost had
if
4
we missed
touchdowns.
the extra point, it'd have been a running clock.
It's almost 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It is.
35.
The game was given away.
Yeah, 4 touchdowns, 28.
Yeah.
You don't count the extra points. Yeah.
And then the points you spot somebody because you put somebody else in, they made a mistake, and they had their starting group out still, and we trying to learn stuff.
Yeah,
being nice.
Yeah, yeah. They scored on a turnover. When the quarterback dropped the ball, we had a really short punt. But they never ever got the ball like on their 20 and drove down the field to score. That never happened.
So then, moving forward, we got East Grand Rapids this Friday, right?
East Grand Rapids.
Yeah. I mean, this is pre-recorded, so the game already been happened, but
I don't see much coming that's going to be different than what's happened in the last.
Be there. I'll be in the stand.
Oh, there's no
doubt.
I'll
be in the field,
yeah,
right by the goalpost, to see all this chaos and calamity. Yeah. These these big reds gonna bring.
Should be a full house, man. People just they wait. You know, we've been on the road. If you think about it, since the since four games when we moved to
the playoffs,
we moved to the playoffs. Had a last home game. It was like four, maybe five games.
Yes, sir.
That we haven't played at home. So people are ready to come to Heckler Stadium and watch Big Reds perform. So we got I think we got 3 weeks at home.
Yep, I think the whole West Michigan trying to come.
Oh, there will be folks that don't have an obligation to go somewhere else will be at this football game.
What's the obligation? You know, if you got a kid that play football.
If you got a kid.
Other than that, you're not going nowhere else. You come in on
if
Friday
you
night lights.
Good football.
In Big Red Country. I'm
oh, yeah.
You.
It's going to be great, man.
My wife just keep asking, you going to the game? You going to the game? You going to the game? I say, yes, I'm going to the game for two quarters.
Okay.
You
can even have time.
Lights out.
It'll be over, man.
Unless... No, they're not like last year's team, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Because last year, they'd be like, they'd let a team hang with them, and they'd go 35 points in one quarter.
Yeah,
so,
the defense is outstanding,
different
man.
Now.
You know, they're outstanding.
They let some teams get away last year with a little bit.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, that was wrong. Then they come out of the locker room, 35 points in a quarter. So I've seen that from last year's team. But right now, this team is riding the wave. Like, if you walk out on the field, we're going to try to get as much as we can get each quarter. And we're going to play so hard that you're going to look around. And your anxiety your being hyped up or you're like, rah, 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 your fans, they're going to be like, hold on. They're going to start being quiet as a church mouse.
Okay.
That's how they were. That's how they were.
Now, part of this, they didn't get a chance to show this on the tape delayed, but prior to the start of the game, our players were standing on our sideline waiting for the other team to come out so they could do the national anthem.
Yes.
So we're standing there. They come out of there. Little back room back there was no locker rooms, and they come down the back of the end zone, you know how you make the turn, and you came past our bench on purpose. They came right down the sideline past our bench and started taunting the Big Reds,
like
right?
The basketball game, like you
this is worse than that though.
Yeah, it's 100
because they stopped and they pointing and they clapping and they jawing, and these kids stood there like statues.
Our players did.
Our players stood there like statues.
Oh, it's like, I would love to see that.
Go ahead. You know, waste all your energy on whatever you're trying to prove, because when we get out on this football field, it's going to be a different story. And trust me, it was. These kids just basically, physically just beat them up.
I'm going to say it again. They probably like, Muskegon ain't nothing.
Right.
Mosquito, little town, it's Detroit. What?
Right,
what?
Right. Yeah.
Smash.
Smashed
him. That hurt. He was looking at him.
Yeah, which should have been a penalty, first of all, because in high school sports, you can't stop.
You can't even go by the other bench. You can't even do that.
There's no reason to.
You can't even.
You know, but that's okay. That's all right. But I was just so impressed with our kids, man. Not one person opened their mouth, raised their hand, did nothing. Like I said, they stood there like statues and waited for that national anthem and the kickoff.
Yes.
And they got to work.
So I'm gonna get the tape. My our buddy that recorded the game said,
"Oh, Dave."
He told me, "I'll give you a DVD when you watch it." I'm like, "Man, what are you talking about?" My wife was watching the game the other day.
Right.
At work, they be watching the game. I said, "Whatever I can get my hands on, I'm watching, so I can rewind it."
Yeah, well, that game was a historical event because that was the first time we had ever played a PSL team outside the playoffs, and it will never happen again.
They canceled the contracts.
Well, we will never go back.
Yeah. How we was treated.
Yeah. Yeah. If they play, if we play them again, we'll be at a Wayne State or somewhere like that, but never at a home field.
They tried to use a home field advantage. Because our dad told me when he came to put his cameras up, they made him move from the press box.
Well, they tried to.
Bob Ecker, they tried to make him.
Well, they had to put them over in the corner on our side of the field. They were not accommodating.
They weren't even out of action. They was like, forget them.
Yeah, and they tried to bully in Buffalo, you know, our TV crew, radio crew. Just not what we're used to.
They tried to do the city way of doing it, like we in the hood or something.
Yeah. It's
supposed to be hospitality.
Yeah.
If they were to beat us, they like, look, we treated y'all good, and go back to Muskegon, you know? But instead, you come use a reverse psychology, and you don't even have a team that can compete with us and thought we was going to be intimidated by intimidating our whole staff. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. Didn't work, coach.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we still got some football. We got Michigan State.
Michigan State looks like they're starting to get some traction, with their offense. Defense have always been able to perform.
With the line, I think it's the jerseys, the Sprite in the jerseys with the green that I dislike.
I haven't heard many people that do like that jersey.
But our Muskegon Big Red, Ladarius Jefferson, got two touchdowns.
Yeah, he did. That's great. Got two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I heard there was another back. I didn't get a chance to see the game, but there was another back that performed well.
Oh, yeah, they're talking about starting him. I think he's got to be a sophomore. Yeah, he's
wow.
Because, you know, there's a lot of guys that's pretty good. They're sharing that. They're sharing the carries.
Normally when you get to that level of football, you normally got guys that are pretty much equal in talent.
Yeah. And so who's exceptional?
Right.
Who's the next ringer or the bell combo? That's what they're looking at.
Who's the guy that's going to create separation from the rest of the pack?
Yep. And we got Michigan, struggle with Army. Everybody said, oh, they struggle with Army, people on the social media. I'm like, do you know what Army is? Army is... When football was around, when it first came around, they was always in the big bowl games.
Oh, yeah. Army was a powerhouse. And I watched the entire game, but the part of the game that I did watch, what I was so impressed with was the actual physique of these kids, man. They were, like, all chiseled.
So
they was, you know, body fat was none. And these guys were just physically fit, and they were tough. They gonna beat some people.
Doing everything
okay.
Right.
That's they gonna beat some people, man. They'll sneak up on you. So yeah, they would expect Michigan to go out and beat them. But me as a coach, I wouldn't want to have to play a football team like Army, man. Especially if you can't blow them out.
Especially when they don't have no passing yards and they beating you by two touchdowns.
Okay, yeah.
They know how to play some football.
They control that football.
That's
man.
Old school football.
That's old school. That's right, baby. Three yards and a cloud of dust.
Yeah. So we got our Lions struggle with Arizona.
Yeah, they had it won, man.
They had it won.
18-point lead in the fourth quarter.
We played three quarters, man. We had fun. We came all the way down to Arizona trying to figure out where we gonna hang out afterwards.
Right. They celebrating too early. That rookie wasn't not having it.
He's like, if I can win a game, if I can be seen, it's going to be on the Lions. I'm making my come up on the Lions. So.
Win up with a tie.
Yeah.
So.
Then just on speaking of other news, final for sports, we got AB, Antonio Brown.
He's been in the news quite a bit lately.
Yeah, he thought he got away, I guess.
All right.
The Raiders had an ace in the spade for him.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a design with the timing of it all.
Yeah.
But it's not a good look.
It's not a good look at all.
Okay.
And I don't wish that on nobody.
Man. No.
I always think about the paradigm of how this country, I would say how it has generationally treated athletes and entertainers.
Yeah.
As if it was another form of slavery if you got a strike against you.
Mm-hmm.
I was at an establishment working out, and I was in the locker room overhearing a conversation. I used to go real early in the morning. So it's an older group of guys there.
Okay.
And I pick up on the conversations. I almost never say anything. And Tony, they were talking about how they're not going to buy any more New England Patriots equipment or
paraphernalia shirt
or anything, right?
No gear.
And I thought to myself, and I was like, okay, they kept on talking. I said, well, you cannot like a player. But then it got to the point of talking about the president, like Trump, how much money he has giving up of his salary. Then he talked about how much money Obama has made over his track. Then he got back to football saying, it was 24 felons in the last Super Bowl and 97 in NFC. I'm like, so I started thinking in my mind, as a former college student, college campuses are set up to criminalize people that come from my demographic.
If you give them that opportunity.
I'll tell someone
that. Give them that opportunity. It will happen.
My roommates, they was playing on the football team. They chanced, we can't drive your car. We're going to get pulled over 1,000 times because I had a Color Supreme. It was clean, no rust on it, anything. We're going to get pulled over in it all the time. We're going to get racial profile. So when you get racial profile, you out somewhere, they know you an athlete or a student in certain cities. The locals deal with you in a different way. They mistreat you. Mm. You're hanging out somewhere. You're going to get in a fight. So then they turn into aggravated assault. It might be a felony. So now you're stuck as a professional athlete, Tony, where?
You got to prove your innocence.
But then how does that go when you're on a campus? So do they attach that to you? And then now you go off into the real world. You still got that stigma because the college coach looked out for you.
Yep.
So you still attached to this university. But then now you got this record. But then now you're in this institution that gave you a chance to play professional football.
Yeah. It's all true, man. It's you know... it's the conversation that people don't want to have, okay? But it's true. And sometimes athletes get the impression that they are above the law, all right? Sometimes they've been given preferential treatment over so long of a period of time that they get their judgment becomes cloudy and not clear, and they make decisions not understanding what the repercussions can be. And it may not be immediate repercussions. It could be potentially later on down the road. And, you know, speaking of our guy, AB, we don't know. Okay.
We don't know.
It's a
civil truth.
It's a civil case. It's not a criminal case.
So let me ask you a question. How does the NFL deal with that? Do they step in as a legal party and say, hey, we're the lawyers in this. We're going to lay the hand down. We're going to hit the gavel. What do they do, the NFL?
Their main goal is to protect the shield.
The brand. So the brand, all of it they worry about.
Okay, the NFL, Patriots, just like your guys was talking this morning about how they would no longer support the Patriots, right? If the NFL does nothing, then those guys could potentially be right in their thinking. Unfortunately, the league has decided to err on the side of caution. Even if we make a mistake in our judgment, we're going to suspend him. He is going to sit down and not play in the NFL until we get all of the evidence. We're not going to take a chance on putting him on the field waiting for the evidence to come out. They've decided to err on the side of caution. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what's going to happen. So the Patriots organization also, sort of ironic, but has taken a stance against any kind of an assault case against women. You don't even get the opportunity to prove your innocence. They basically put you on notice, suspend you, and wait till the investigation is over.
Wow, that's rough for being a single rich man, I see.
Yeah. So
get married as fast as you can.
I'll be surprised if they don't act in that manner and allow him to play on Sunday. We got 24 hours in which they have to make that decision, because those rosters has to be turned into the NFL for the Sunday games. So they got till tomorrow.
Man, look at that. Look at all that. You know, we're a financial show community, Muskegon community, but this, we're in the information age, and things like this that trend make money.
Oh, yes, it does.
It does. Okay. The Raiders saying, like, hold on, we're trying to go to Las Vegas. He fits what we're trying to do. He's a dynamic talent. Everybody say he's a good talent, good talent.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But we got to deal with this stuff off field that's allegedly saying he is this person, things he do. But I've seen it, and I've been around professional players, and they always tell me, say, once you get that one strike on you, where somebody say one thing, it's going to be your whole MO for your whole career. Randy Moss is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like whatever he did when he was in the Range Rover and he had gotten an accident and he fought those people, he had rolled that out for the rest of his career. In Minneapolis. That's why he had to leave. So it's like they hold on to that the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He's got four touchdowns, but this group is there. Michael Vick. Every time they hold that stigma above the athletes, Mateen Cleans incident.
Mm-hmm.
He was acquitted on all charges, but they say, look, let's put a YouTube video out of what really happened. So then we can incriminate him after the fact, even though he's not guilty at all, to mess up anything he's going to do financially for himself.
So you have to ask, what were the circumstances that allowed these kinds of cases to become relevant? And you have to say, honestly to yourself, they put themselves in that position.
That's how they did.
Okay,
being a superstar.
Right,
you're
wrong,
right,
or indifferent. If Randy wasn't driving the car, or was involved with the people that he was with, Mateen wasn't with the woman that he was with, if AB didn't have any kind of dealings that were other than professional, none of these guys would be in that position. But once you cross that line, now you open yourself up to all kinds of scrutiny and potential legal actions. The lawsuit is only asking for $75,000.
That's all she asking for?
That's all it is. That's the benchmark in which it becomes a federal type of a lawsuit. It has to be a minimum of 75. The purpose of that is because of the location of what, because he's not in the state anymore in which the alleged assault took place. So if it was a state issue, then that state could issue a subpoena. If he stayed there, then they could arrest him, yada, yada, yada.
That, yeah.
Right. But again, this is a civil case, so there's no U.S. Marshals or anybody that's going to go and arrest him. He'll get subpoenaed to come and testify in court. But we've got to remember there's no criminal charges that are being claimed at this time.
So the money can be paid. He can move on.
Not necessarily, because although that's what it's asking for, if it was before a grand jury,
yes,
and they say, well, you know what, we find that he's guilty, and you got to remember, it's not a reasonable doubt. It's 51%, okay? That's all you got to prove is 51%. It's not like a jury of 12 people where it's got to be unanimous. So
if two people in somebody's arms say he did it, out of four people, he did it.
So, and then they can award a whole different amount of damages. So, again, can they plea bargain it out of court, if you will, settle it out of court more so than plea bargain, and come up with a number and it go away? Don't know. So, but there's a lot of things that's going to happen in that particular case over the next few weeks to determine whether he'll be able to play in the league this year or not.
Yep. Speaking financially, I know we got our president meeting with the ISIS and terrorist people, but also I seen an article today, Tony, that said the tariffs from the trade wars with China brought in $6.8 billion in the month of July.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
That's money out of thin air.
Yeah.
They say, hey, we're going to make this rule and we're going to upcharge the tax on your product you're going to bring in. That's actually helping our country and helping our citizens. But because it's not made in America, 25%, 14% on everything you, everything that go on a tanker or on a boat and come and cross that creek,
come
that
over
ocean,
here. Yeah.
It's going to be taxed at 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So they made $6.8 billion in a month. What does that money go? Who gets that? Who does that go back to our debt?
We wish it would. Why don't they pay for your wall? Why did you take money out of the military and FEMA, okay, right on the verge of the Dorian catastrophe in the Bahamas, along the east coast of the Atlantic? We had a lot of damage, but yet this money was taken from FEMA. There was money taken away from the military budget, but yet we have all this excess money, tariffs. That money basically goes to the government. It's a tax. That's all it is. It's just a different name for tax. It's not that the consumers reap any benefit of it, but it's basically whatever the goods and services that were paid for and are sold in this country, whoever the seller is has to give that margin to the government. So it's just another tax. It's no different than your income tax that you take out of your check.
Okay. All right. So I seen something else also, just doing some studying and thinking about our topic, simplifying your finances. And I was like, can you simplify the finances on a global level, right? So I'm thinking about that. And I come across an article that China or Hong Kong or someone are trying to made a proposal to purchase London's stock market for $36 billion.
Yeah.
Yep. So how you do a deal like that? Like, hey, we want to buy your stock market, one of the richest in the world, in the world history, on how we got our standard
of currency
and bartering for products and services and trying to get a balance sheet of what it looks like in a monthly, a quarterly, a daily from them based on a gold standard, and the kings and queens and the empires that's involved in this stock market in London is like, we talk about the families, the Rothschilds, the princes, you know, the way.
Oh, yeah, this all is these old, rich families. Old rich money that goes way back to the 1600s when most of the money was made off of the shipping trade, the slave trade.
That's right, come on now.
Your spices and what have you that comes from all parts of the world.
Gold and diamonds.
Yeah, you know, was all the cornerstone of the English anarchy. And but it's the old saying, everything is for sale.
Everything okay? is for sale.
And basically what they're saying is that we want to purchase that stock exchange because as money flows in and out of that stock exchange, you know, like it's no different than the New York or the NASDAQ. There's somebody that is responsible to manage that. Okay. They have a board of directors just like any other company would. And is, you know, if you thought you had enough money to you wanted to start up your own stock market, you could, Okay, there's so many government regulations and what have you that you would have to compete with in order to be a viable product. It's another story. But these guys saying if we got enough money to buy that stock exchange, they basically take over the ownership of the stock exchange. Not saying that it, you know, that they're going to basically manipulate the stock exchange, but that is a possibility.
They already have.
Because I mean, Wolf of Wall Street, that's all you got to watch. And
let's, take
tell
it back,
you.
Let's take it back a couple months when we were talking about how China came in and offered Africa all these $1 million loans or grants, $300 million, $200 million, to several different places in Africa to develop their land for agriculture, for soy, and the things they were buying from America. So now that becomes a gross national product that you could put on the stock market. If you buy the stock market in London, which they are connected to Africa for the history of the world, and now you got a stock market, and you've been investing in this country for so many years, now you got it linked to their product. Oh, you're about to...
Yeah.
You don't need to trade with America no more.
No, there could be small startup companies right now that's going to be based in Africa. That main goal is to transport the products that come off of the farms or what have you to the seaports. And at some point in time, they're going to be worth a whole lot more than what they are today as that infrastructure develops and become more robust. So to invest in those kind of companies is probably a great idea.
Man, that's pure genius to me. But like reading the books that I've been reading, and like about the Rothschilds and all these historical families, Tony, and I was like, what could you get the audacity to offer us $36
billion? They can say yes. I know. Yeah, now, I don't know.
Kingdom, basically. Kingdom stock market. That's what it really is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a really low price.
Yeah, you know,
we'll eventually see. But it's no different if somebody were to try to buy the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. That would be, you know, trillions of dollars. Not billion, but trillions. So maybe it's just a ploy. We don't know. We'll find out.
Man, that's just... So this thing about simplifying finances, I was like, well, that sounds like a global economy.
Yeah.
I just want to give them a pointer today, just manage and pay down your debt. With these tariffs coming in, people are paying more money for products, right?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that, like you said, $6 billion just didn't come out of the air. That came out of our pockets.
Yeah, that get passed down to us, me and you, and the business owners.
Yeah, that's who paid for it.
Because we're the third party after that. It gets produced somewhere. They pay for it to get a COVID over here. If the stores put it on their shelf, they get charged something. So that price get passed on. It's almost like somebody in theft. You know, protection, safety and precaution, assurance department. It's like, that's like theft. Like, we're going to put this upcharge because everybody's stealing from our store. So now we got to charge a little extra for it. That's what Trump is looking at it like that. Like, oh, they stealing from me. So now I got to put this charge on it. So
yeah, they're not playing fair. So we're going to put this upcharge. And the purpose of the tariff is to say that it becomes price prohibitive. So we don't want to buy it because last year we paid $500 for that washing machine. And now it's $200. I mean, it's $700.
That's right.
And it's like, well, no, I'll wait. Okay, man, I'll go buy a used one.
And that's the next thing that's going on. People are waiting, Tony, and they say it's almost like down. I wouldn't say... I saw 50% that could be skewed of consumer confidence.
Oh, yeah.
50%, not what they buy.
Yeah, the consumer confidence.
But the consumer's confidence is down 50% and making purchases. Like, the purchase I usually would make, no, I'm not going to make that. That car I was going to buy, the car I was going to lease every 2 years, I sent it back now and bought this little beater. So it's like people are leaving the economy, and then you're looking at the things like the negative mortgage now.
Yeah, well, a lot of that is driven because of the fact they're talking about recessions. And people don't, you know, that are everyday working folks don't know if the company that they work for plan to downsize, shut down, move, whatever. Because, you know, through this tariff talks, we have heard of companies saying, well, one that comes to mind is Harley-Davidson. They, you know, when the tariffs came up, they got hit so hard that they said, well, we could move part of our production to Germany and basically produce the products and services and still sell them at a decent rate.
Yeah. Not IPOs, but I invest in the REIT, the real estate investment tool. You know, when it comes to the stock market, where you can buy people shares where people are getting loans and buying and building 10-unit and apartment buildings and communities. So I got an email today that somebody defaulted on one of our loans and when they supposed to pay it back.
Okay.
It was like this development that it was better had 50 condos or something in it. They defaulted on it because they had the stackable containers that came from China.
Mm.
So they were buying it for cheap, but then now they're getting taxed. They defaulted. So they say, we're going to fix your investment, Chauncey. But I was just like, wow, that's the effect of it.
That's the effect of it.
It's in California. It's like 50 units. They're building it a condo complex so they can put those containers out there that look real nice and they can upcharge a certain amount for something that costs $10,000. So I'm looking like they defaulted on the loan. So I was like, that sounds like a different way to start a mortgage crisis. That sounded like a different way to start a trade war or to have our dollar be even worth
devalued.
So it's crazy, Tony, just looking at this, and it's almost Trump's way of doing what we were doing on our show, simplifying the economy. Like, I'm going to get a stronghold on this. I don't know who's making money. And once you do that, you eliminate the, you eliminate capitalism. That's doing it the wrong way. You're not giving me free enterprise no more. You controlling how I do it and what I earn. And that's already, this thing set up already for that. But when you add something else that's basically thin air to do the same thing and say, I'm going to charge a quarter on top of everything, that's wrong.
Yeah, it is. I mean, versus sitting down and having, you know, honest conversations. But the unfortunate part is the other leaders of the world don't trust him.
Don't trust him.
So, you know, that makes it very difficult. It makes it very difficult to negotiate in good faith.
I remember someone said, so I'm going to give her some credit, Peachy. Peachy said this to me. She said, you don't live in boundaries of your life. You live in the four corners of eternity. And Trump trying to put in himself in four corners and box himself in, that's going to cause depression and anxiety or something because he's not sharing the wealth of America.
Yep.
We got to share it to keep on growing. So the scripture scripture I got today is Acts 17, verse 28. It says, in him we live, and that's vitality. We move in a dynamic way and have our being, and that's completeness. So just being able to, when we simplify, we need to be able to focus on the things that's right in life, serving our purpose, and doing what we're supposed to do and living dynamically. Tony, anything else for us today, Tony?
No. Just look forward to coming back next week, sharing some knowledge about financial planning, getting out of debt, and making sure your credit is strong.
Yep. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.